Okay, today is Thursday, 18th May 2023. Yeah? We will be continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. We are at code 64, page 18. Okay. Let us now compose our minds, develop the faith, Saddha, Virya, and mind play. We shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavān. Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Swaggato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammānamassami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sāvakasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā Vīrammaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādiyāmi. Ādīnādānā Vīrammaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādiyāmi. Kāmesu miccācārā Vīrammaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādiyāmi. Mosāvādā Vīrammaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādiyāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Gannasarappadipena dipena tamadansina tilokadipang sambuddhaṃ pujayami tamonodaṃ Gandhasambarayutena Dumpena khang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kesuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi betang kesumina nena Punnena metena cehotu mokang Pupang melayati yata idame Kayo tata yati winasa bawang Adivase tu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan patu mutamang Adivase tu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan patu mutamang Adivase tu no bante Bojanan parikapitan Anukampang upadaya Patigan patu mutamang. Okay, we shall now chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our Nikkama, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and ability to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripajat. Vedano poi c'è. Da man piacere. Sankara piacere. Ok, io che mi siete. Ok, yes, relax body and mind. And as usual, we are off the light. And we'll have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. For those who are new, if you are not familiar, our Tuesday class, normally we will start out the puja. And after that, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So if you are new, you need to develop the understanding of it. Because this awareness-based meditation is different from the usual one that is being done by most Dhamma practitioners or Buddhists. What they normally do is they are using their thought to meditate. So we call that thought-based meditation. So when you are active with your thought, you tend to come out with a lot of verbalization. Then there is a lot of like method, technique, or object of meditation involved where the thought is actively trying to develop that type of meditation. So methods and technique will definitely lead to what we call a series of instructions to do things. So if you think that is meditation, then you are being gullible because that series of instructions to do things is just a skillful means, to train your mind in certain way. And most of the time is to hold the mind so that it can be the object of meditation, so that it can be preoccupied with that object of meditation and instruction given. When you do that, it's like you follow the instruction to do the so-called method or technique. But all these are just series of instruction to do certain things, nothing to do with meditation. But most people don't understand. And the other more important reason is they don't know how to develop the meditative mind when they want to meditate because they didn't understand why. When you lack the five spiritual faculty that the Buddha has taught us, when you don't have Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, the opposite five mental hindrance will be there. They will be very, very like active or prominent. They tend to arise. Yeah, these are the mind states that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why it will make you heedless. And the Buddha called it mental hindrance. It hinders the mind from becoming peaceful, quiet, aware. And because of that, those who don't have such understanding, they tend to develop the meditation via using the thought-based technique and method and object of meditation. And when you do that, it will make your thought active. Then difficult for you to develop that awareness within. So what we do here is we are here to develop the inner awareness. That's why we call it the awareness-based meditation. And I have given you the four support to develop it. The most important one are the first three. The first three support are very simple, but need to be understood, then easy to do. You must have faith and understanding, then you can develop it. And when you develop it, it becomes very beautiful, very easy to develop the what they call tranquil mind, the silent mind, the inner awareness within, the free mind that is without thought. That is supposed to be your meditative mind. So the first support is relax. Develop the ability to relax. Relax what? Relax body and mind. When you are relaxed, you are at ease. You don't have issue. You don't have problem. Nothing disturbs you. That's why you are in a state of inner relaxation. Then after that, the second support is maintain awareness. Just aware. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Whatever arise, aware. Finish. Because as a human being, we have a physical body. We have a thinking mind, or what we call the mundane mind, the thought process. So this mind that think a lot is the cause of heedlessness, the lack of ability to silence, to develop the inner awareness. You can only be aware when thought cease. So because of that, second support, maintaining awareness is very important. Whatever arise, just aware, finish. Don't follow. The physical body, together with the six sense basis, or what we call the five physical senses, and the brain, together they form the six sense basis. Then this consciousness that is trapped inside, upon contact of consciousness with the sense basis, it will trigger off their respective sense door consciousness. It can make you conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactilely feel and thing. So these are the six types of consciousness that are possible. So whenever they arise, just aware, finish. It's just like hearing, no need to perceive, just be aware of it, finish. Smell, aware of it, finish. Taste, aware of it, finish. But when you are sitting in the meditative posture, normally, the smell and the taste are not active unless you have the incense nearby or certain fragrance nearby, or you can smell certain things. Otherwise, they are not active. Especially the taste bud, they are not active. But the active one is your hearing. Then sometimes you'll see. You have a tendency to close your eye when you meditate, then you see less. Of course, there are still things to see because if your eye closed, there are still mental formation and images arising. Then your thought process through memory, respond to memory, create thinking, thought process. So these three doors, they are still active. Then the other one is your tactile. So you don't know how to relax when you sit, especially those who cross your leg. If you are not relaxed, there is tension, stress, then it will build up. then that tension, stress, and constriction of qi flow will bring about pain sometimes, sometimes numbness, or what they call disturbance to certain part of your tactile places that has contact with the meditation mat or with the floor or with whatever. So whenever the awareness of this arise, whether it's the thought or the hearing or the seeing or the tactile, you just aware, finish, aware, finish. Means don't try to think. So first support is to relax, then maintain awareness. All this, no thinking involved. Then the third support is to continue to stabilize this awareness for as long as you can. So relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax into it. Then let the mind settle down. It will become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more quiet. Then suddenly, there will be a shift in consciousness where you feel the tranquil state of your mind. Then it's like everything starts to slow down. Your breathing starts to slow down. Your whatever vibration you can detect, your heartbeat or whatever, it will also starts to slow down. Then your mind will become very, very quiet, very still. That is what you're supposed to develop. That silent mind or the inner awareness is your true mind. You're supposed to realize that. That is your awareness nature within. So I will let you continue with the training to stabilize the inner awareness. We are following the first three support. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you have already developed the ability to develop this inner awareness and stabilize it. Then you can relax into everything that arises and stay at the heart area. When you stay at the heart area, means you are trying to detect your gateway to your nature. So initially, don't be too eager to detect it. Just stay around your heart area, maintain awareness until your mind becomes very quiet, very still, until it's completely without thought. Then it becomes very sensitive. When it's completely without thought, it can detect many things. It can detect your heartbeat, any thought activity, vibration, or whatever. It becomes very sensitive. Then you just relax into it and stay with it. Means body and mind move as one. The heartbeat and the awareness move as one. Means stay with the phenomena. Whatever that your silent mind detects, stay with it. Maintain awareness until it becomes very quiet. It can be your heartbeat or any tactile vibration. You just stay until it becomes very quiet, very still. Then suddenly, like no movement, nothing. Then you have to be very patient. Continue. Do not fear. Do not panic. Just relax. Don't worry about the breathing not coming back. It will come back. Initially, it may appear you got no more breathing because the breathing or the breath has become so subtle that you are not able to detect it because your mindfulness has not reached the refined state to enable you to detect it. So you continue to be aware, silent, don't do anything. Then this mind will enter deep. When the mind enters deep, it will detect itself. And that's how you develop the fourth support, to develop the trust to detect the gateway by itself. So trust that nature to meditate, no more thought in war. That is the fourth support. That is for those who have already stabilized their inner awareness. You can do that. Otherwise, you just develop the first three support enough, good enough. The first three support, if done properly, can bring about enlightenment in the here and now too, especially the sainthood way. You can realize the first stage of sainthood, sotapannaship, or second stage of sainthood, sakadagaminship, or third stage of sainthood, anagaminship. And when there is a glimpse of the cessation, any of this sainthood can be possible. Then finally, when the cessation becomes more stable, the form of mind cease, and you come out of it, you can realize the fourth stage of sainthood, which is arahantship. So for the sainthood way, you don't need the fourth support. The first three support is enough. Okay, now I will set the alarm for the 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then you can continue with your meditation. Once the alarm is triggered, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chokawaisu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Padanta. Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Padanta. Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Padanta. Namo Tassa Vato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Iti beso Bhagavā Arahaṃ Sammāsambuddho Vijjācharanasampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Bhuvisatam Saṃsi Sattadeva Saṃsi Buddho Bhagavati Svāgato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Vakkaliko Ehipāsiko Panaviko Pacchattam Veditato Vino iti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sangho Ujjupatipanno Now we'll continue from where we stop. We turn to page 18. We are at Unique Dhamma Code 65 or 64. We finished code 63, the last one. Heedful living versus heedless living. What heedless living is and what heedful living is. Then we have a unique Dhamma code that explains to us the essential understanding of living, existence, and life. So here, Dhamma code 63, I will read to you again. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Most people are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they totally miss out on life. They are seldom aware within or within the moment to truly live life. So when you don't have this ability to appear aware, you will end up heedless. That's why I say this is heedless living, means constantly lost in thought. Whereas if you train your mind, develop the inner awareness within, then you can be mindful most of the time, aware most of the time without thought, then you can be the moment in silent inner awareness to be fully aware of what is going on within the moment. You can do that means you have the meditative mind. This meditative mind, which is silent, tranquil, still, can be aware of all the activity and movement. Then it can understand clearly what goes on within nature. Like the saying or the quote denotes, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? If you are not busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, or lost in thought, or preoccupied with the thought, then you can be with the moment in silent awareness, to be watchful, to be attentive, to be aware. And this state is the awareness state, the inner awareness that is fully aware of what is going on within the moment. And this is your true mind, having the ability to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena and awaken. This is how wisdom can be developed. So you can be in that state of mind, then you are heedful. That is called heedful living. Otherwise, you are heedless. Yeah. So now you see the importance of being heedful. Yeah. Then the notes that we have left behind on the whiteboard, yeah, I just go through with you a bit so that you understand. So what happened is when we started the sharing, we explained clearly to you all the stages of transformation or creation. Means initially, as a living being, we have a nature within. We call it the true nature, or what we call the true mind, the silent mind, the inner awareness nature. So this is what we call various religious teaching or religious, what they call terminology. They call it by different names. Even the Buddhists, they call it by a few different names too. The Maya call it the original nature, but like the Myanmar. Then some call it the true nature. Then those who understand the other religion, they call it the oneness nature, or some call it the source. Then the scientists also have a term for it, they call it the singularity. From there, everything arises, source or singularity. And this one is the unconditioned. You can realize this. This is the enlightenment, or what the Buddha calls cessation of form and mind, Nibbana. Then what happens is, from this nature, you can arise. From the source, or the original nature, the true nature, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness. So this pure awareness is what we call the true mind or the pure mind. So this pure awareness is actually your true mind before the arising of thought. And this one, its nature is just aware, nothing else. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But from here, because we have the physical body, the senses, it can trigger what we call the five aggregate or format mind, or we call it the mundane mind, the thinking mind. This is also what the Buddha called the dependent originating mind or the conditioned arising mind. So this part is the creative process. We call it the conditioned world. Then from here, the senses will enable us to actually experience the phenomenal world of consciousness. So this phenomenal world of consciousness arises because of our sense basis. Because we have this sense basis together with the mundane mind or the consciousness, the thinking mind, it can trigger the respective six types of consciousness. We call it the mundane consciousness. So this six type of consciousness can make us conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. That's how the phenomenal world come about. It's actually the phenomenal world of consciousness, the six type of consciousness. And this one is the ultimate creation. When this one arises, all things arise. The mundane mind that is deluded will grasp and cling. So this is heedless living. That's why if you break it into a triangle, or what I call the Trinity triangle. So this Trinity triangle will enable you to understand it easier, with more clarity. So the first to come out is pure awareness. So we put the pure awareness here. So this is this point, before the arising of the mundane mind. So from here to here is still the unconditioned. So this is the unconditioned. Then from here onward is the conditioned Dhamma. Unconditioned Dhamma, the conditioned Dhamma. So this part, from the pure awareness, you can move. One direction is here. Means from here, together with the six senses, you trigger off mundane living, or what we call the conditioned arising world. Type of mundane living. So this one involves the thought process, the thinking. The sixth sense door together with the contact of mind trigger off the respective six types of sense door consciousness that created the phenomenal world of consciousness. So if you every time allow your mind to be heedlessly thinking, creating, then this is mundane living, or we call it the normal mundane mind living through the heedless way. You are most of the time lost in thought, creating, thinking, getting yourself entangled with the phenomenal world. The phenomenal world of consciousness has a lot of meaning. You tend to grasp, cling, and hold. And this is where the five aggregate of form and mind continuously grasp, cling, and hold and create suffering. That's why this mundane living can lead to suffering, or we call it hell when you think about it. But the other way of living is heedful living. You train your mind to be aware without thought, then most of the time you are aware. When you are aware, you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. We call this the direct seeing. Then you can awaken. You can develop what we call wisdom. This wisdom is what the Buddha called Yoniso Manasikara. Understanding. wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So when this one arises, this one will be connected to the form and mind. Then you use this to live. This is true living. The enlightened one. They live life with the wisdom. That's why they act according to Dhamma way, following the wisdom developed. Whereas the other one, they act according to memory, which is what we call knowledge accumulated. So this one is where the senses is. The senses together with the brain, which trigger of the thought consciousness, they are of all the six senses. The common denominator is the mind. So this mind is what thought is all about. Every moment of seeing, there is this consciousness involved. Then the mind that trigger of the content of consciousness that go into that respective sense of consciousness is the one that trigger of the delusion. So if the content of consciousness is deluded, you will have the evil result, greed, hatred, and delusion. Means before you have the wisdom and the enlightenment, then this one is always wrong thought. And because it is wrong thought, it will trigger off suffering. It will trigger off the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because you lack right view, you lack wisdom, you lack understanding. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So all this become very clear. Whereas if you move from this direction, the direct seeing, peaceful living, then you can act according to wisdom developed. So this wisdom that is developed is heedful living, leading to true living. This is the meditative process. This is the enlightenment process. Whereas the other way is the normal mundane living leading to heedlessness or heedless living. Okay, so with this, you will have the understanding of what happened in life. And when you understand this, you will understand who are you, what are you, and how you manifest as a form and mind. And this form and mind is what we call the living beings. This one I have to write. So this one is the living being. For our case, is the human being. The other thing that you have to understand is, for us to arise, for the being to arise, you need to have a coming nature. And this coming nature can trigger the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the vehicle and tool that the living being can come. So without the coming nature, you can never come. But with the coming nature, which every living being has, that's why birth and death is possible. Samsara is possible. Existence is possible. So from here, the vehicle and tool, which is five aggregate of form and mind, is the first one to arise. And this one, as you all know, you come in segment. Every life you come is one segment, one segment. That's why the Buddha called it the segmented life. That one is not you. That one is dependent originating, conditioned arising, causal phenomena. With awareness, you can see all this. You can understand all this. That one has the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, the three universal characteristics. That's why through this direct seeing, you will awaken. This direction, you will awaken. Then, because of this five aggregate of form and mind, maybe I make it more complete. So this one Nate comic nature. Maybe I use another. So I write here, huh? Comic nature. So once there is this karmic nature, then through the process of karma, it can give rise to the five aggregate of form and mind. Then there's another nature, which is our spiritual nature. So this spiritual nature is another nature within nature. So this one, when you cultivate from the pure awareness, you will develop the perfection. Okay, you will develop the perfection. So this spiritual nature will develop. Formation of your pure awareness, direct seeing cultivation will give rise to that spiritual nature. Whereas the summation of everything you do with your form and mind, every moment of existence or mundane living, it will trigger off the karmic nature. That's why this one, the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. So this is where karmic is triggered. Here, it involves a lot of mental intention. Before you are enlightened, before the wisdom is developed, this mental intention is always deluded, evil, with a lot of wrong view. That's why without right view, you cannot develop the understanding of life. You cannot develop the wisdom required for you to live life, to understand the whole movement. And we call this the secret of life. When you understand the whole movement, you understand the secret of life, you understand life, and you know how to live life. That's why everything that I have been sharing and teaching you all this while is summarized all here. And the most difficult to understand is, of course, this one. This one refers to the conditioned world, the conditioned Dhamma. Because to live life is to go through existence. To exist, to go through existence is to go through time. As we all know, time, the whole spectrum of time can be divided into three: the past, present, and the future. And these three define the whole spectrum of time. Then when we understand these three, we understand life, because this is related to existence and life. So as we all know, whatever there is of the past is no more a reality. It has already gone by. So past is already gone by, no more reality. Likewise, future is something yet to come, also no more reality. So the only reality that arises and exists within the world, the conditioned world, is the present moment. But this present moment is very funny. That's why I always say, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? If you are not mindful, not aware, you cannot be aware of the moment, then you cannot live life. But this is the only reality. That's why most people are lost in this too. They create thought and think of the past and worry about life. Or they create thought and project their thought and develop the fear and the worry, the anxiety. They fear the future. They worry about the future, which hasn't happened yet. So all these are the thoughts movement. When you are not aware, you are lost in thought. Your memory trigger the past. So memory is, like we said, full of rubbish. Your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, your delusion, your whatever experience that you have actually went through, yeah. All the entanglement, yeah. The sorrow, the lamentation, the misery. That's why you hold on to this scars of memory. Of course, there are also some beautiful memories too, like your wonderful experience when you had the good life, some moments of joy when you do well, when you are able to experience something very beautiful, very mean. Then you cling on to it, you hold on to it. But this is all thought, no reality. Understand that? What is thought? Consciousness and its content arise and pass away, arise and pass away. You are holding on to it for what? No more reality. Then when you entangle yourself with the future, you fear, you worry. Because future yet to come, but you worry about the future. You're scared people come to know. You're scared you cannot escape certain things, like the crime that you committed and all those things. So future is where you project your thought and develop the fear, the anxiety, the unnecessary misery. It's just like the first number two, where you were told by the doctor, you have certain type of bad news. They did a biopsy, they call it a biopsy, to confirm whether you got cancer. Then when the biopsy is result, before they come out, you panic. Then when it come out confirmed, you become miserable. You become worse. Yeah. So this is worrying about the future, panic over the future, or lament, clinging on to your past, or you daydream. Yeah. So living being, they hardly can be in the state of presence, is without thought. When you are without thought, you are not lost in thought, means you are not with the past and the future, you are fully present, fully aware of what is going on, the whole movement. There is clarity, the whole understanding. Even when you are resting your mind, the awareness nature is there. It can be fully aware. That's why this one is ever mindful. Constantly aware. Or we call it constantly meditative, developing the understanding and the wisdom. So you can be with this present moment, which is the only reality in life, then you are truly living life. That's why this is noble living. The enlightened one, Pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma, you get to live. Yeah. But most people cannot develop the awareness nature, the silent mind, to stay here. If you can do that, then I will rejoice and my nature congratulates you. But this is where hateful living is. This is where enlightenment in the here and now is. So if you understand this, you understand life, you know how to live life, then all this become very clear to you. Okay? Can follow. You got any question you can ask. Yeah. Okay, otherwise I will read on. So now we go on to code 64, unique code 64. But with the meditative mind, This is heedful living. You are most of the time mindful, aware, and silent within. That's why that meditative mind is your true mind, your silent mind without thought. That nature is tranquility, stillness, awareness, clarity. No thought movement, no duality. There's like no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Nothing, just empty, pure, aware. Can you be in that state to live life? So this is what the meditative mind is. The meditative mind is the mind that has the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. When these five are there, that's why with the wisdom is in the state of equanimity. It does not stir, it does not move. It is always in the state of pure awareness. Ever mindful. That's it. Finish. Unless it needs to live life, it needs to come out into existence. It needs to share something, speak or do something. Otherwise, most of the time, they are just relaxed, mindful, aware, and silent within. That's why the noble ones, they are the one that is ever mindful, silent, most of the time, aware. That's it. So with the meditative mind, you are most of the time mindful, aware, and silent within. There is just the inner nature, inner awareness nature, your true mind, which is tranquility, stillness, leading to clarity. And through that, you can see things as they are and awaken. You can insight into phenomena. You can realize the truth. You can come to understand things clearly, the whole movement. So this is heedful living, ever mindful and constantly meditative. So this is heedfulness, ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why heedful living. So this code 64 is very important. Then code 65, unique code 65, a very stable daily mindfulness or sati is needed to see the birth and formation of thought. Because to see the birth and formation of thought is the beginning of wisdom. If you cannot see this at the moment of its arising and formation and passing away, means your stability of mindfulness is still not there yet. That's why you cannot see the paticca-samuppanna. If you can see this, you can see paticca-samuppanna, the dwelling, every of these links very clearly. That's why a very stable daily mindfulness or sati is needed. You got no choice. Without the stability of daily mindfulness, you cannot see, because you have to live life. When you are in the midst of life, the daily mindfulness is the one that lives life. Whereas when you are in the form of meditation, your senses are not active. Your senses are most of it down. That's why that one, you can be in that state of awareness, very stable and very still. So that is the training. When you go through the training to develop this awareness-based meditation, you most of the time develop it through the form of meditation first, until it becomes very stable, until mind enters sati. And then when you come out of it, everything is in sati. That's why the daily mindfulness become very different. You have to do it. The daily religious routine, like I say, every day you have to do it. So the daily religious routine will anchor your mind throughout the day to develop this heedful living or heedfulness in the midst of life. Means You are ever mindful, constantly meditating. Most of the time, aware, aware, aware. Everything is just sati, awareness, sati, awareness. Initially, it's kaya nupassana, aware of all action, all movement within the present moment. Then later on, you can actually, from there, the mindfulness stabilize, aware. Because when you can be aware of your activity, especially physical activity, your mindfulness become very stable. You become ever mindful. Then during that time, your mind, which has entered sati, become very sensitive. It has the ability to be aware of anything you want to be aware of, especially the other three foundations of mindfulness. You can be aware of your feeling at any time, any moment. Feeling will remain pure feeling. It will not stir. It will not move. The movement of thought to trigger of fear, worry, anxiety will not be there. We are the wisdom and the stability of understanding and samadhi is there. It will stay there, sitting as they are. This. Then not only that, when your mindfulness becomes very stable, and you are ever mindful most of the time, you can be mindful of the citta, content of consciousness. When your citta has the content of greed, hatred, or delusion, you are aware. So these are the content of consciousness that went in to trigger off the five aggregate of formation. So this understanding needs mindfulness. That's why without mindfulness, you are like blind. That's why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Really, you don't stand a chance because you can't see at all. You cannot understand what is going on. You are completely lost in thought, heedless, deluded, entangled. When you cannot see, you are like blind. There is no way you can come out of the delusion. So this is what cultivation is. Without the stability of mindfulness, all this become impossible. That's why you can't awaken. You cannot develop the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding. But when you have mindfulness, you can see them all. So a very stable daily mindfulness or sati is needed to see the birth and formation of thought leading to the ability to see paticca-samuppada, the dwelling. Then the next sentence is, there is an inner awareness within. When you have this stability of mindfulness, this inner awareness within is always there with you. You are always with that true mind, that silent mind, where Hui Ling called it the first hallmark, Wu Nian. So this inner awareness, that nature, is very, very clear and very important. So if you can develop this, means you already stabilize your daily mindfulness. And this inner awareness within is the one that separates you from the mundane living, the mundane mind. The awareness nature is like a weakness. It observes, see, weakness, everything. This one is attentive. This one is aware of the movement, the paticca-samuppada, the five aggregate of form and mind, the phenomenal world of consciousness, the aggregates of mind, everything that moves, everything within the conditioned world, it has the ability to be aware. Okay? Then we go to Unicode 66. The pure vijnana. You know what is vijnana means? Yeah? The four aggregate of mind. What are they? Yeah? First one is what? Feeling is what? Feeling is what? Vedana, isn't it? Then the second aggregate is what? Mind. Ah, Sanya, what can your mind do? It can feel, it can perceive. Then the third one is what? The third aggregate of mind is what? Ah, Sankara. The mind states, the activity of mind, everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. So these three are the one that create movement and activity. So this one form the content of consciousness, understand not? But the receptacle that hold this content is called what? Huh? The last aggregate is what? Vijnanam, understand not? What is vijnanam? Vijnanam is the pure receptacle, the pure consciousness, understand not? The direct seeing, the baby, when they see without the content, they see things as they are without the words. That is the pure vijnanam, the receptacle, understand not? The pure consciousness, the pure perception without words, nothing. That's why the four aggregates of mind, you must reflect, contemplate until very clear. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Especially the first three. Vedana, Sanya, these two. Understand it, then Sankara become very clear. Everything that your mind can do, including planning, scheming, all the 52 mind states, everything is under Sankara. And this is the content of consciousness that goes into the pure receptacle, which the Buddha called Vijnanam. That's why the Paticca-samuppada is like that. Dependent on avijja, ignorance, it trigger off sankhara. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Because you are deluded, you have ignorance, you don't understand, you want to know. You want to understand what you do, you go and think. So thinking is sankhara activity. And when you think, you go to the brain, understand, or the memory, to retrieve, to develop the knowledge and the understanding. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Then what happens is, when you are at the brain, upon contact, thinking is contact, it trigger off the third link. What is the third link? Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya. Ah, vijnana. This is the pure consciousness, understand now? Before the content go in. That's why after that, it condition what? Vijnanam paccaya nama rup. Nama rup is the five aggregate of form and mind when the content of consciousness goes in. That's why you have the five aggregate of form and mind, which has all the other aggregate of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Then, together with it, there must be contact everything. And also what they call the Ekagata and all those things, the seven universes, the life force, and all the other type of what they call content that goes in. Even they call it what? They want attention. Manasikara. That manasikara. Attention. So that one also is part of your sankhara. They call it the mental states, the mind states. So all this movement without stability of mindfulness, you cannot see. So the dwelling is to see all this at the moment of pure consciousness, vijnanam, before the content went in. You just aware, the direct see. Of course, no sound. Huh? That thing just see. Then from there, how the content went in, very fast. Very fast. Your mental intention, your deluded wrong view, your activity of what they call delusion, means the stirring of the mind, your reaction of mind to your mental hindrance. So all this like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, envy, jealousy, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia, all these are sankhara, mind states. And they are the movement of thought because of your wrong view, your deluded view. You project your thought, you trigger off the fear, you worry about the past, you trigger off memory, sorrow, lamentation, scars of memory, phobia, everything. Then you are caught in that delusion, that content of consciousness that is full of suffering, misery. That's why all the whole mass of suffering, the entanglement is all there. And you can see them, how it triggers. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa, which we have gone through. And this falling, you can see them very clearly. That's why you understand them. Then you can contemplate and reflect on them, and you become very stable. Then dependent on this, what they call namarupa, five agreeable point, there must be sense bases, the Buddha said. That's why when you check, really, it's there. And because of sense basis, it will condition contact, pasan. Then pasan condition feeling, vedana. Vedana condition craving. Craving condition grasping. Grasping condition becoming. Then you take birth. Hence, arise the whole mass of suffering. That's how the paticca-samuppanna, the dwelling, come about. And without a stable mindfulness, you cannot see, you cannot understand. That's why in the Pali text, they cannot explain this. They use the three period of time type of paticca-samuppanna. Avijja, they say, the ignorant. Then it condition coming volition. So that avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara become coming volition. Then it condition vijnana, means the rebirth consciousness. Then it condition form of mind, birth of a living being. Like that, very easy. This one is not the way the Buddha teach. This one is the paticca-samuppanna that they are able to make use of as a knowledge and a theory to bring about the explanation. But if it only occur once over three lifetimes, then you learn it for one. What the Buddha teach you on is the paticca-samuppanna that arises within the moment. Every moment, every instant, it arises, it passes away, and it's multidimensional. And to see this, you need sati, you need mindfulness, you need awareness. Otherwise, you can't. There is no way. So this is 12:51 here. Oh, I have to stop here. Okay, I read this Unicode 66. Pure vijnana, the pure awareness, stroke, pure consciousness, is the one that can allow one's nature to see things as they are, means the direct seeing, see through without words and concept. So hopefully, with this explanation, what is the pure seeing, the direct seeing, can be understood. Okay, I'll stop here. And for those who have the understanding and the interest, you better read on your own, so that when you come prepared, when I explain, you can absorb easily. Okay. So now we will have our 3 minutes of toilet break. 12:52. We come back 12:55. I will have a drink first. I think PG is going to the toilet. I wait for her. Okay, now we will open up for second session. For the benefit of those who are new, the second session is normally meditation reporting. You can report your meditation, then I can guide you along. When it comes to meditation reporting, it's very simple. You just report exactly what you do. That's it. And how you go through the meditation. Then after that, I will be able to guide you. Then after that, if you have any question, you can also ask. The question can be related to your meditation or to what we share today. Or you can also add whatever you want to add on to what we have shared today. Then the third possibility is you can also share Dhamma in daily life based on your experience that you have gone through in your cultivation. And there is another possibility of asking question, how to apply what we have learned here, or the Dhamma understanding to help you understand life, live life. You have any problems or issue or anything that you need my guidance and experience to explain to you and how to develop the understanding of it to overcome it, you can ask. Okay, who is supposed to? Brother Song. Okay, so we let Brother Song. On there.
Hello.
Yeah, on there. Already on there.
Right, you, Mr. Steele,
Yeah.
can come in now.
Mm.
Right, you,
Ah.
我要 share 的就是我要讲这个上的这个
好啊，
explanation。
very good.
这个whiteboard 的这个 explanation 呢，
嗯。
它很像一个Dharma 的那个蓝图这样，
对
所
对
有这个 Buddha 的那个
对
teaching，
，Yeah，
它 summarize 在这整个白板
对
上
对
，especially from 那个四个那个
对
圆圈。
，stages of creation，creation，这个真的 is the blueprint，of Dhamma，
所以
blueprint of Dhamma，
所有的那个 Buddha Dharma 就
嗯。
是从这个 blueprint 里面spin off，
对，
所以从这里我们可以看到，它来很像一个 path 这样子
对，
，show 给我们看，这个cultivation 这个 Buddha Dharma 的这个它是怎样的去来一个蓝图给你去 understand 这个 Buddha 的 teaching 跟这个 Dharma
对，very good。
Otherwise 很多人就觉得什么是佛法？哦，佛法只是 maybe 讲苦啊，哦还是什么
对
就是一个很 basic
，Yeah,
的那
very
些
basic.
very basic 的 like 那个 normal 的 people 去 interpret 的那些 normal 的那种 talk and no knowledge 的 understanding。But from 这个whiteboard 里面，却Virgil，你这几个礼拜一直在 explain 的时候，它是 show 的一个这个 Dharma 的这个 cultivation 的这整个 way，
对。
所以很重要，我们一定要去
是
understand。
是，这个 blueprint is the correct word. So this word is very appropriate, very apt. Blueprint. Really, it's a blueprint. Like when you develop a blueprint of a structure plan, for a very big project or whatever. So they come out with the blueprint. The blueprint is the base that you need to actually develop it. Without the blueprint, you cannot develop the whole thing. That's why we already gone through. What I realized in the early day when I was asked to come out to share is I realized that Dhamma that was taught in the general Buddhist community is mainly thought-based and they are knowledge-based, piecemeal. They teach the whole Dhamma like all in separate piecemeal sections. Yeah. They can like all the so-called pieces, like they can come up with a topic like the five mental hindrance. They don't relate to the other essential dhamma. They just teach that five. Then they try to explain the five. Then the five spiritual faculty, which is the complementary teaching, but not taught, is separately taught. Yeah. Then even the explanation of the five, they are not connected at all. They are like one by one, they teach you as they call it scholarly type of Dhamma. Yeah. Mainly it's knowledge based, thought based. So because of that, they cannot link all the essential Dhamma, all the what they call teachings of truth that the Buddha has taught us, especially the Four Noble Truths and this Three Turning, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, and from there how it connects to the other essential Dhamma, how it spin off all the other teaching, how they are related to life. That part is completely missing, especially related to life and linking all the Dhamma. That's why that day, I think, at our dinner, Sui An also mentioned the reason why Eng Bi, Mi Fong, and Sui An got so interested is when they asked me to go to SJPA and share in the year 2009, I think about 14 years ago, because somebody couldn't make it to deliver that Dhamma talk. So they got nobody. So Brother Chim, I think the president, was trying to look for somebody to replace him. And Sui An remember me, because Mi Fong every time tell him, he said, Brother Teo's Dhamma is very good. Then he called me, I remember. I said, Sunday, I will be free. So I went. And that sharing, 1 hour plus, I linked the whole teaching together. That's why they were very, very like impressed and full of faith. That's why immediately NB asked me, Brother Teo, you got to teach meditation? I said, yeah, I teach. I said, can teach us? I said, can. Then that's how everything happened. Yeah. From there, the Subang Jaya group came about. Then Sui An's house was the venue. And initially, only the three of them, I think, Sui An, Mi Fong, Eng Bi. Then Sui An, very good. Huh? He SMS a few friends. I think the first class, six or seven of them on it. Yeah. So that's how it all started. Then nobody can link, can connect. Yeah. And this blueprint is even more difficult. This one, very few, I should say, even Dharma master or teacher, they can link all together. Not to say link, to explain to you this one is not easy. This one actually very, very few people can develop the understanding, not to say teach, to even understand this is not easy. But for Kayamita, I realize you all already have the condition. Most of you all can follow and understand what I share. And this one, like I said, if you contemplate, reflect, and develop it until very clear, then determine life after life, you must have this understanding. Then when you come again, all this understanding will come back to you. But this life, you must make sure you understand it thoroughly. Because this teaching, I never learned this life. This is from my past. I already have this understanding from the past. After 1989, when I connect, all this understanding come back to me. And that time when I understand all this, I cannot teach straight away because you are not ready. Not ready. Totally not ready. So because of that, I have to start with the usual thing that you all do, the essential Dhamma, then explain, connect them, then come back to what they call method, technique, mind sweeping method, then all the other skillful means, then I tell you all you can use any method, any technique, whatever that suit you, that can help you use. Then only I slowly, slowly wait for causes and conditions after the essential Dhamma, the basic Dhamma have already been understood or develop clearer understanding, then only I can go into the real teaching. But somehow the condition arise and the Heart Sutta came about, the book. Sister Lee asked me to go to Wu Pingjing, so I teach for 15 months, then they make into a transcript. Then ever since that year when this Heart Sutta book came out, it also Padmasuri, they all get it printed. I think Miss Lee and a group of them, I remember, including Mark Yuan, they all, many of them, Eng Bi also, they actually work very hard, no? Because the Heart Sutta, over 15 months, you know how many recording. Then they did the transcript, they type it out, then do the spelling check, everything, then pass to me to edit. Then I have to actually make it into a book. It's not easy. Then I realized, it's a very complete teaching because everything that I need to teach was there. That's how, after that year, I think 2016, that was the year Po Ching came, I think. We started the Heart Sutta. So after that, I don't need to every retreat print notes and all those things and pass to you all. Then explain from the notes, Jay Krishnamurti or whatever notes. Then the Heart Sutta formed the basis of all this understanding. Then when I go through the Heart Sutta, I realize the teaching gets filtered out, especially at the retreat. And year by year, things become different. That's why now I can teach the whole thing. And people can understand. And especially Song, they also, they can understand, appreciate. Very good. Continue, so. Sadhu.
But Virgil, that circle, very beautiful.
Yeah.
他的每一个 circle, 如果那个圆圈你分开来，你不能够知道是什么。对。但是这四个 circle 一加起来，它就是一个 path
来的。对。就是一个
Dharma
的那个然后的整个
cultivation 在里面。每一个的 circle 里面都有 deep 的那个 Dharma 那个 essential 的 Dharma 在里面，especially 你看我们很多 actually 我们已经 life after life 的一直在 birth and death 里面哦，生生死死的这个过程，我们已经是从第一个的十个已经来到了第四个 from the source 我们已经定出来。 then become as a 这个, 来到了这个 phenomenal world.
Yeah.
Then 我们一直 life after life, because of the healers, because of the ignorance or delusions, entangle在那个第四个的那个circle。But这个circle里面就show我们又怎样从这个 phenomenal world 里面怎样的慢慢的 step by step, the
return. Return. That's why from here you must cease the mundane mind. When you cease the mundane mind, you go back to the pure awareness. Then when the pure awareness also cease, you realize Nibbana. And this is where the Liu Tao Lun Hui is. Birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. So when you are born into the world, you arise through the phenomenal world. Then the five aggregate of form and mind take you here. So this one, segment by segment, every segment, unending. That's why this is the 31 planar existence or the six Dhammarai, six Liu Tao Lun Hui, the Mahayana version of the 31 plane. the sixth rhyme of samsara, birth and death, existed. So when you want to understand life, you have to meditate to reverse all this. Then you understand the whole process of becoming. That's why I call this the creation process. How from the source everything starts. Then how through the Dhamma understanding, you develop the understanding to cease and return. And this whole explanation, I tell you, very few people can have the understanding, how it evolves and become what it is. And for us to manage to even put into teaching form, use word, to develop the understanding. And some of the words that I use, you cannot find in any book, like specific phenomenal awareness, pure awareness, spacious awareness without a center, all those things. And many other words that I use, they are not there. Yeah. Even you see them in other books, but they are not linked. They are not explained. They copy the word. Yeah. Like a lot of Dhamma book, you can see a lot of Dhamma inside there, but they are not the one that has the understanding. Yeah, they are all put together by thought, by knowledge. Yeah. And most of the time, the author, they are limited by their own ability to comprehend to the level that they understand. So what they write is based on their limitation. That's why they just maybe read about it, develop their own understanding, and from that understanding, they believe that is what it is, then they write. Yeah. But if you have gone through and developed all this understanding, you read, you will know. Yeah. The one that don't have the understanding, one, the words contradict themselves. A lot of things not right on inside that. Yeah. But to a Dhamma practitioner who are very interested in Dhamma words and knowledge, they may think it's very beautiful because the words are there. But the word may not be the thing. So all this understanding, you need mindfulness, you need awareness, you need to realize it, awaken to it, and then you appreciate deeper. You understand clearer, deeper. And this is what Dhamma is all about. Not knowledge, not thought-based, not teachings that has been commonly taught as what we call as Dhamma teachings or Dhamma knowledge. It's very different. The true one that is developed to awareness base, sati base, is very different. Very good. Yeah, you can continue. So,
以前我在第一次在那个哈苏塔的那个 Sutta 里面，我第一次看到这个四个 circle 的时候。 那个时候，哇，我是在那时我是在 Thailand 的 retreat， 不然就我拿了那一本 Hasutra 的书去看。当我第一次看到这四个 circle 的时候，哇，我 full of joy，我就觉得哇，我就明白了，我们怎样的从这四个 circle 里面回去那个，就是来一个 indication 来让我们知道，otherwise我们每次都来。 我们去 attend 很多的 Buddha， 哎，这个 Dharma class， 每个都是 like part and parcel， 都每个在讲一个 part 一个 part，but 你不知道怎样的
piecemeal piecemeal， they are not connected at all，
yeah not connected， but that times 我一看到这四个 circle 的时候，哦，我就知道这是一条道路， 让我们 understand 怎样的去 cultivate， 怎样的去回去。 这是一条回家的路来的，哇！那时我就很 full of joy， 但是 Bro， 就你这一次，你又从这四个 circle 里面，你就 spin off， 哇，就很多的那个更多的那些 dharma 出来 ，especially 很多的这个 essential 的
dharma，
哦，你在这三个礼拜你都一直在 repeat 这四个 whiteboard 里面。 你是
对，
不断的一直 spin off 一直
对，
extend 那个 Buddha Dharma 在里面，那你可以看到很多的 Dharma 在里面。
Especially the Trinity Triangle, that one very important. That one actually from a linear, you break it into a trigram. Because that four circle is linear, that's all. But the actual movement is the Trinity Triangle, the trigram. Because your movement towards the left and the right is two different cultivation. That's why this one is the pure awareness, direct seeing, silent mind. This is the meditative awareness-based meditation. Whereas this one is mundane living, this one is heedless living, this is thought-based meditation. This one cannot penetrate that one, cannot develop the real wisdom. This one give you a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding. But that knowledge, understanding cannot free your mind, cannot live life. That's where the big difference is. And this one is, you just bend this, you realize this one is here, no? This one is here, then come to here. Then here, come to here is this one. Then from here, it comes to here is this one. So the four circle can be put back. Here got two, here got one. Then the wisdom connect back. And this is living, explaining the whole thing. Inside this trinity, what they call the Trinity Triangle, a lot of people don't understand. Because when you talk about Trinity, you tend to think of what Christianity, they have the Trinity, but the Trinity is different. Their Trinity is, I think, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that Trinity. Those who study the Christian teaching, they know. But our Trinity is different. Our Trinity is to break up the understanding so that you know which direction you cultivate the flow of it. That's why I realized without this Trinity, very difficult to explain. Very difficult to explain. But with this Trinity, I can explain. Then last time I used to tell you all, without yonisomanasikara, the wisdom, the wise attention, the moment of sense experience, you cannot cut a feeling one. The feeling will straight away become craving. Here, with this one, you can see how it can break. This is spontaneous. At the moment of sense experience, because you have the wisdom acting via the Dhamma way, via the wisdom, you develop the understanding. That's why spontaneously it will prompt you. Sankara anicca, sankara dukkha, Dhamma anatta. Straight away, this one cannot stir, cannot move. Without this yonisomanasikara, impossible to live. So all this understanding are so beautiful. That's why I had to come out with all this to share and to teach. And nobody taught me this life. All my teachers teach me different things. Even the last teacher, he only teach me pure energy. Locate the gateway, of course. And different teacher teach differently. But most of them, they only help me in certain phases when I need those part of the teaching. Then, like Ajahn Chah is the initial. Shen Hua is the best, of course. I took refuge under him. I listened to a lot of sharing. Then his Rangama Sutta, the English translation, all came from him. That's why it's meant to be. That's why I whole family take refuge under him. Because there is affinity with the Triple Gem. Then when I receive his basic, what they call English translation of those, like the Heart Sutta, Surangama Sutta, then later on, now we go to the Miaopa Lianhua Jing, the Lotus, wonderful Lotus Sutta. All this, they have the English translation. But at that time when I started, It is called translation was not complete yet. A lot are missing. But the funny thing is, when I received the English version, when I read through even the Surangama Sutta, I realize I can understand not only what is written, but way beyond his explanation. His explanation is good, very good, up to his level. But there are certain things that I realize my nature understand beyond what he understands. That's what I share with you all. Then this one is not in his book, The Four Circle Orders. And all this summary is not in his teaching. He never teach like that. Yeah. So you can see how when the nature comes, when you have affinity with different teachers, different great beings, you receive different things. So I receive a lot of parts and pieces that I need at that time. Then after that, when I connect, after 1989, that's why my last teacher also actually hinted to me. Because he met up with me after that, then we didn't meet for very long. Then he always reminded me, is it? Always remember, is it? Don't go the psychic way. I said, my nature cannot go the psychic way. Is it wisdom way? But he say he cannot do it. He don't have the Dhamma. His teaching is energy field, and they like those things. That's why different teacher, different interest. But what is needed, I receive from him, especially the gateway. He shortened my practice at least 10 years, 10 to 15 years. Then that one actually triggered the transformation inside. The moment I penetrated the gateway, that whole thing transformed inside, then I cut short my cultivation. That's why at the age of 35, after that, 9 months later, my mundane mind collapsed. Then I inherit back the spiritual nature. This one, when it come back, is very different. When that one come back, it's like, I don't need teacher. Like, you remember my last guide told me, well, he know I will leave him already. He said, Tio, remember, when there is no more earthly guide, you know what is earthly guide? The teacher from the world, the earth one. There will be an astral guide that will come and look for you and guide you. But the funny thing is, after 1989, 2009, 2019, I think, when I met him back, I think in 2008 or 2009, I didn't meet him for quite long. 80-something, 2008, 80-something, 89, 11, almost 20 years, 19 to 20 years. That time, I met him back. He was so excited. No? He said, did anyone come? I said, none. You are the last. Of course, that time I had to say, you are the last and the best. Yeah, he showed me the gateway. I said, after you, no more. Until today, no more. Not only 2008, no. Until today, no more. There is no more teacher, no more guide, nothing. I don't know why. Before that, a lot. Before that, 1986, Xianhua, Guanyin. Then later on, the rest. Then before 89, all the guide come, the teacher come. After that, no more. Until today, no more. So a lot of things, unless you take the Bodhisattva way, you go through all this transformation and understanding, you can never understand the whole process, how it can be possible and how all this can just unfold. Understand? I can tell you, this understanding and this teaching, one lifetime you cannot learn. You need to have your path, your spiritual nature. One lifetime you ask yourself that simple question, how much can you learn? By the time you have the condition to understand the teaching, means get the right teacher who can teach you and start, you already how old? Then how long you take to develop the understanding? Even after I have teach you all this, you already, maybe Saul still quite young, 55. Jin Hao still quite young, 50 or 51, or 49. Lagi young. Chiu Po Lian not young already. 60 already.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. So still, let's say up to 80, still got, as long as still got 25 years to go. Papa Sui, 60 years? 60 years. 63, 17 years. Oh, 70 years. 不会了, 不会。 Correct, correct, but 你, you 了那个 understanding, 你的 cultivation very different. You don't have to have a physical body to cultivate. You don't really need it. The understanding is there already, then you continue to transform. Like after 89, until now, I don't really need a healthy body to do that. The understanding and the cultivation, I don't need. But because I have this understanding and I connect, my nature helped me to stay healthy. That's why I can, a lot of things I can heal myself. Whatever I experience and go through, I can heal myself. Even the COVID thing cannot be on until now also haven't cannot. Everybody cannot. Everybody cannot. So a lot of things is like that one. When you understand, it is the way it is meant to be, will be. So all these are very beautiful. So very good sharing today. Another 3 minutes, you can summarize it.
Virtues, 真的是很 beautiful. 这一个, 这个 whiteboard 的这个 dharma, 所有的这整个的 Buddha 的这整个的 teaching, 这整个的 essential dharma, 这整条 path, 的 cultivation 的整条 path, virtue 你就用四个 circle 跟一个 triangle, 就 explain 出来了, 就 from 这四个 angle, 这四个 circle 跟这个 triangle, 你就 connect 它, 然后你就 spin off 它, 就把这整个的 Buddha Dharma 这整个的 cultivation 就这样子的 present 出来, so beautiful, so wonderful.
That's why that Heart Sutta Sing Jing, what I have written inside there is only skeleton. No? I didn't explain all this. No? I only explained the very basic skeleton. No? You can read the Heart Sutta. Not much thing in there. But when you listen to my explanation during the retreat sharing, the thing that come out is different. And now, because you all are ready, the thing that I share is different again, expanded again. Like I used to share with you all in the early days. Like the Buddha said, what he has taught you is the handful, the Four Noble Truths. What he has understood is the tree in the forest. Of course, they are not the essential one. But if you go the Bodhisattva way, these are the essential understanding, the very important one. That's why all this you can only understand after you go through all the stages of cultivation, perfection, transformation. Before that, no way. And no way for living being to have this ability to comprehend all this within one life cannot. Even my last guy also told me, he said, do you know people who can detect the gateway. Very rare, is it? Is it most of them, by the time they manage to realize the gateway or detect the gateway in his word, he said, they are at least 80 years and beyond. Passes with or beyond. Otherwise, you cannot. Because I make that vow. Because there is one vow that I did. My second last teacher told me, he said, do you know who you are? Who are you? He asked me 3 times. Where he got past my psychic ability. I said, I don't know. Because I don't have psychic, I don't know. Then after that, she told me, you came with a very, very heavy vow. The moment she said that, I say, I know. Because I know what that vow is. I told you all before. Whenever my nature arises, my nature wants to understand the highest teaching available. That's why, because of that, the last guy, no reason I can meet him, he has to come and show me how to realize that gateway. And when I connect to that, I don't need him right technically, but the Dhamma I have already. Then I move, I transform, then I connect back. Then all these things fall into place. So like he said, to develop all this transformation, he used the word transformation, then he used energy field. He said, actually, one lifetime you cannot do. You need many, many lifetimes. But after he saw what happened to me, he said, because he purposely asked to meet me, we met for 4 hours before we left separate for almost 20 years. In 1989, I went to a bungalow in KL, somebody arranged. Then we talked, and he told me, this world, this universe, the two of us enough, we can talk already, there's no need others. Then after that, he told me, he said, do you know, this is so beautiful. What we have understood is that it's possible to transform. He said transform because his one is the energy field, that the nature. He said one lifetime can detect this and transform. Actually, he also knows most people cannot. He has to wait till he's 60 years old. Only he connect. Then, because he got a very good teacher, Kalimantan. That one also occult. It's different field. So because of that, depending on your understanding, your past, your nature, because of that vow, from middle of nowhere, he was in New Zealand. Actually, impossible to know him. Somehow, the affinity, everything. And when they told me about him, asked me to go, I refused 6 times. Until the sign keep on coming. Then I know, I don't know who he is. My nature told me I must meet him. Because by then, it's already after 89, I already have the Dhamma. I don't need anybody to teach me. But funny thing is, the condition keep on arising until normally 2 times I already know this guy I must meet already. But there was this keep on coming 6 times. And I say, okay, I will meet. The moment I met him, everything just happened. That day itself, he activated this. Then his hand was about 2 inches away. Then that nature, actually that gateway, opened up. Not really opened up, he just activated it. Then I already know how to relax, maintain awareness 24 hours. I already know how to do that, the first 3. The last one trust, I don't know. But he didn't explain also. I just relaxed, silent. Then it detect by itself. Then after that, all my yin yang energy melt inside. I become so still, like a perfect human being. My consciousness, everything transformed, and I like no thought at all, still. Like a perfectly tuned car, no vibration, nothing, everything so still. That's how everything started and happened. And all this, after that, become possible. That's why I knew I was ahead of time. And that time what I share, people cannot understand. Yeah. But over the years, it had become possible. Yeah. 89 until 2004, I didn't do anything. 15 years. Like winning. Okay, we better end. 10:36. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So with the good sharing by Brother Song and me, and all the condition for all this Dhamma to arise. So let us now share merits. Aka Satta Cha Pumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anemoditwa Chirang Rakhantu Lokasasana Ita Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampada Sabe Deva Anumodantu Sapa Sampati Siddhiya Hidang Meya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Hidang Meya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Dewang Meya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Devo Vasatu Kalena Sasa Sampati Hetu Cha Vito Bhavatu Loko Cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Imena Punyang Kamena Mame Bhava Samangamo Satang Samangamo Hotu Yang awang lima napa tiang Okay, you all get down. Pay respect, mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanyi Bodhisattva, and the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu.
Comes together and first of all, three times to Bhagavad Gita, it's still coming all the ways to share this. So we will have a form of Dhamma.
Also tonight my wife brought you mochi and you can have something.
There's one message from Brother Lim say that so great to have participate in your Dhamma sharing. Most grateful to teacher Teo.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, we all should rejoice too.